Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and greetings. Bless you in the beloved name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Hallelujah. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley, another sister-to-sister show that we're asking you to be involved in, to send emails while we're live at our straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. We're asking you to call in if you desire to speak or share something. We're going to continue what we've been doing the past few weeks, talking about spirits, deliverance, or wherever our conversation may lead. Thank you again and again for tuning in. Our countdown, 17 days until the Feast of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Penti, meaning 50, 50 days from our Passover. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer is with me tonight. She's in Georgia, but she's with me live on the show. I always appreciate your presence, Mother. Thank you for tuning in. Let's hear your voice and get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. Bless all the daughters of Zion. I pray everyone is doing well. I pray everyone is excited and just truly preparing their hearts for Pentecost. I pray you can hear me, Sister Ashley. I can hear you very well. And when you're ready, we can move forward.
Praise Yah. I wanted to, this is my first announcement for the Daughters of Zion Tea Party. Hallelujah. And I'll give a little bit more information as we get closer, but I want to tell you pre-advance because you gotta just check this out. This is something that some of our mothers started for their daughters years ago, and they're offering it at the Feast of Tabernacles this year. So you'll need a garment or a tea party dress. The attire is requested but not required. There will be special guest speakers. There will be tea and snacks. There will be pictures. and much more. And this is going to be hosted by Sister Justice from Straightway South Carolina. And like I said, it will be during the Feast of Tabernacles. The date, the time, and the location will be determined further along or closer to the feast. All more information will come at you. But if you desire your daughter, if your husband desires your daughter to participate in the tea party, no limit on the age, as young or as old as anyone that would like to come. It is sisters and women only. So it's something that a lot of the young daughters really look forward to, coming together in a holy place and just communing and fellowshipping with one another, enjoying each other's presence, and just growing together. Praise the Most High Yah for another show. Thank you for your ears. Hallelujah. Thank the Most High for the ears that hear what His Spirit says into the church. I thank Him for Pastor Dow as well as every man who follows him. And tonight we want to invite you again and again, I'll say it, as we kick off the show, to call in. The guest call in is 310-982-4226. Do you have a question? Do you have a question pertaining to something that we've spoken of on previous shows? Or do you have a question about any spirit that we may be able to help you with? Do you want to send an email? StraightwayHelpMeets@gmail.com, all lowercase. Going back to Pentecost, and Pentecost coming up in 17 days, there is no Be a Blessing list. We do receive anything that you bring, and we thank you. We thank you for your gifts, your offerings, your letters of support as your husbands continue to support their families and give to the man of Yah. I thank you, you know, because the prices are increasing, and I really, really praise the Most High Yah for the way that we all live by faith and in common unity so that we can all share what we have. I praise His name. I think that's all for my announcements. The tea party was something that I did not want to forget. Bless you to Abigail, who's with me tonight. Grandma Barb's with me tonight. Amara is here tonight. Yaor is here with me 9 months already, walking and eating. You know the cycle of life. Judith is with me tonight. I bless the Most High for Judith. I bless the Most High for Lakely and for Maple. There's some of the young girls that are in my life. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It makes our sacrifice and the restoration of all things worth it. It really, really does. When you see girls and young women growing up with an opportunity to live out something that we didn't have, it's not about us anymore. The Most High Yah has been the keeper of our soul, and He's pouring into the next generation. I give Him all the praise. Mother Jennifer, anything on your heart as we wait on any emails? One more thing, Mother Jennifer, hold on. Specifically anything related to fear, I'd like to talk about manipulation, perhaps, or even mind control. Let's go that route. We did discuss arrested development. That's something that we could talk about for weeks. Lion's Den did a great discussion on arrested development. Pastor Dow did an amazing video to his patrons and the faithful patrons behind the scenes that are in that circle, in that loop. A life-changing video, if you heard it. And that's it. Jumping to you. Maybe you have a question about fear. Maybe you have a question about manipulation or mind control. It doesn't have to be. Just trying to kick us off with a little bit of direction. And back to you, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead. What's on your heart?
Yes, ma'am. Just wanted to say that going back to Pentecost, you know, Straightway is hosting this event. They have not created a Be a Blessing list, but, you know, it is always proper to want to bless your host whenever you go anywhere. Just like if you're invited to someone's home, this is the exact same case. You're invited to the home of the Straightway Tennessee Saints. So you want to bless your host with something. So they're not forbidding you from bringing anything. They're just not asking. So it still is proper to bring something. So contact the dining hall if you are bringing anything, just to help the feast flow a little bit better. And Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say that, you know, with the last few shows that we've had, it's been very encouraging to see the emails come in, to not have the show short because we don't have enough people writing in, or we don't have enough questions asked. And you can tell that the Daughters of Zion are really just seeking help when it comes to deliverance, and that is encouraging to see. Sister Ashley?
Yes, the feedback is encouraging to see. As always, just the intention is to allow our experience to minister to each of you. I hope and I think that we've never spoke outside of our experience. We would be fools to do that. And I think we bring a balance with the experiences Mother Jennifer lives and has that I don't have. And we're able to share strictly from our experience. I know that might limit us in some areas, but within the ministry, you can get your answers for someone has lived, heard, felt, experienced what is happening to you in some way, shape, or form. And most definitely, we all feel our infirmities. We feel according to the flesh. You know, we think, we know what it's like to have a carnal mind, to be in the flesh, to rise up in any kind of anger, bitterness, resentment, revenge. You know, we understand the flesh. Hallelujah. And so we are in the same fight like you to conquer the flesh, and we're on your side. And I pray that you're able to hear that each show and every show. And I hope that our experience ministers volumes to the minds of those that are out there. I was listening to, and I guess we'll just kick it off, Mother Jennifer, anything else as we kick off our thoughts?
No, ma'am. Please go ahead.
I was listening to a Patreon video that Pastor did, as well as all the saints here was able to hear it. And I often will say to myself, I know what Mother Jennifer's thinking, you know. And sure enough, she had texted me today. But I do want to throw us out there on the sword and say, you know, there's so much said to lead us and teach us and to point our feet in the right steps that we often don't want to add to that. We honestly never take away from it. But everything is really said. It really already has been said. And oftentimes we're just hearing it again and again, or hearing it a different way because of our carnality or our stiff-neckedness or just because of Yah's mercy that endures forever. But either way, I appreciate the Holy Spirit's repetition so that we can get the message. And as much as me and Mother Jennifer would sometimes just like to be on the sidelines and also hear and produce fruit, just like each of you, we got to get back out there. You know, we got to be on the microphone or be on the phone or be on the computer in front of you guys willingly, of course, to share our experiences again and again. So bless the Most High Yah for it. But I know when we hear impactful videos like that and you hear the heart of our shepherd, or just even when our men show that form of humility, shed those type of tears, I think it's important for the people to see it, to feel it, to experience it. That they are leading with fervent charity. And, hey, we both, I know her mind when I hear it. I'm like, I know she's off crying with some tears like I am, and I know that she don't want to say anything more. Right, Mother Jennifer? You share your heart. You speak for yourself.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley, and I just wanted to say first, if you are not subscribed to Pastor's Patreon account, you need to. There's so much valuable information that is put out on Patreon that is not shared on YouTube. So if you have not subscribed and you have not heard the video that he did today, you need to take the time out to listen to it. Don't allow yourself to be interrupted. If you have to turn your phone off, whatever you have to do so that you're not interrupted. The video is about an hour and a half long. Take the time that you need to listen to that video, that full hour and a half, uninterrupted, so that you can truly hear what is being said for you. And I just wanted to say that, you know, Sister Ashley, when you listen to our shepherd speak in such a way that is impacting, that truly puts a new level of fear of Yah in you, a holy reverence for Yah in you. There's a time when you just want to pull back and be silent so that you can just truly discern yourself. You know, you can truly discern the things that you've done that you need to repent for. You know, you need time and space where you can just truly discern your own heart and your own mind. it's just not time for talking, you know, and that's what my mind says. And then the show comes up, and I'm texting Ashley like, you know, what could we possibly say? And so we always have this conversation, and then she always encourages, you know, we're going to continue to be faithful. You know, we're going to continue to speak to the ones who need to hear it. We're going to continue to move on. We're going to continue to be faithful. And it's so true. But, you know, when we hear, we truly hear it, and we truly take it to heart, and we truly meditate on what Yah is requiring of us. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All praises to all the women who hear with gladness or hear with any fervency, you know, to change and do your due diligence. I thank the Most High for all of you, those that have been in my life, that have helped me in any way, you know, whether you're my iron or my pillow, you know, I really, really mean that to the Most High. Yeah, I'm thankful that He has put everything in my way, in my walk, that will get me to the kingdom. There's nothing that I lack, you know, from my husband all the way to the least of these amongst us, you know, even to the children. So blessed be the Most High. Yeah. You know, I had sometimes this will happen to me, you know, when I'm listening to maybe a Sabbath message or listening to Lion's Den or any application of the word of Yah coming from the ministry, sometimes they'll have a word that they say really jump out at me, you know, really just stick in my spirit. And listen to Lion's Den, I caught this word early on, you know, because a lot is said. We could go so many different ways. Don't forget, let me put this plug in there. Sakina, please remind them throughout the show to, you know, send in your emails, questions about spirits, deliverance, anything that we can help you, you know, chart your course or just point you in the right direction, okay? And call in if you need to. Guest call in 310-982-4226. Don't worry, you're not interrupting us. If you're waiting to see which way we go, we're just occupying radio waves until Yah leads us. But back to me really grasping a word or that stood out to me was, and it's in Isaiah 61:1, when the Spirit of the Most High Yah was upon Isaiah, okay, and we know that the Spirit of the Most High Yah can rest upon and rest in us, be in us, a comfort in us. He said the Spirit of the Most High Yah was upon him, and He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Of course, that's prophetic for the Messiah. And the Messiah is saying the same thing in Luke when he opens up the book of the prophet Isaiah. And remember, bind up the brokenhearted. That's what I'm really hinging on. But I'm just trying to, you know, build the conversation that in Luke, in the Spirit of the Most High Yah, he's reading out of the prophet Isaiah. He's reading out of the book of Isaiah. He opens the book and he finds the place that it's written, and he starts reading, the Spirit of the Most High is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah said, bind up. Luke said, heal. But brokenhearted is what really, really stood out to me. And I think that's the word that I would like to conversate or speak about first, Mother Jennifer, so start getting some of your thoughts together. Because we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, right? Because if we live after the flesh, we will die. If we live after what's been done to us, we would die, you know? If we live after the flesh, we're not debtors to the flesh. Remember that. So there is a brokenheartedness, a broken heart that has happened in majority of the listening audience from childhood all the way up. Maybe divorces, maybe rejections in all forms. And in this, at this moment, I am speaking to the you know, victim that you've been of some form of brokenheartedness. And we're not to live according to that brokenheartedness. We are to be led by the Spirit. And the Word says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, He was sent to bind up the brokenhearted. So we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We are supposed to be healed. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, the Messiah said. And so I testify of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that I have been brokenhearted before, once, and more than once. And in this instance, I'm not speaking about what I've done to others because I've been instrumental as well. In this instance, I am meaning the things that have occurred in my life from childhood all the way up, those things that have hurt me, those things that have broken me in any way, broken my heart in any way. I have not received the spirit of bondage to fear that again, but I have been healed. I have been set free from being brokenhearted. Hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, there's a lot of things that have been done to women, and we have spoken many times and in many shows from the aspect that you don't want to focus on what's been done to you. But for once, for this short period of time, we're going to talk to those sisters that have really gotten a broken heart from their experiences and the things that have been said and done to them. Mother, share your heart.
Yes, ma'am, and this is about really understanding Yah's promises, you know, really understanding that he has promises for you. His plan for you is not to destroy you. It's to give you an expected end. And when you read his word, you have to understand that it is for you. So when you look at Isaiah 61, you know, we're all under the same teaching. We all have the same opportunity to hear the word. So we sit under a shepherd who is anointed, who has the spirit of Yah upon him. And we all hear the preachings. We hear the teachings of good tidings. You know, we hear it every single week. And he has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. And so just like Sister Ashley is talking about, so many have been in situations where, you know, they've been brokenhearted. But we have promises. You know, you have to understand who you are in Yah and that those promises are for you. It's not for you to remain a victim. Yes, at one point you were a victim, but he has not called you to remain a victim. And so you have to almost encourage yourself, talk to yourself as if you're talking to another sister, as if you're encouraging another sister. And when our shepherd is speaking and he's encouraging and he's correcting and he's rebuking, yes, it is for you, because even in that, that is binding up the broken heart. You know, the things that are tough to hear, it's binding up the broken heart. The things that are encouraging to hear is binding up the broken heart. So whatever you need to heal is what you need to actually receive and to be able to move on. Sister Ashley?
I hope that our words always take you back to the Father. I'll give you an example. When we've spoken many times about not having the victim spirit, that's so that if you do, or if you still walk in the repercussions of what has been done to you, that you would take it to the Father and you would say, bind up my broken heart. You know, that you would hold him to his word. Well, sometimes we speak and we're supposed to speak from a place of great victory to show you how to attain victory. And I don't bring before you all my struggles in the midst of a struggle. I want to use maturity to speak about them in victory. And I hope that you can also pattern that. I learned that from Mother Carol and a few other holy women in my life, that you overcome and then you testify. And along that journey, there are people in your life that you do get to share your experience with, what you're going through with. It might be one counsel among a thousand. When you're brokenhearted, when you need to be comforted, when you need the oil of joy for mourning, when you need the garment of praise because you have the spirit of heaviness, you know, these people are always hopefully in your life sending you back to the Father. But when you feel something, when you feel hurt or when you feel offense, because you know that we feel a lot from day to day, when you feel what you feel in the flesh, pride responds by saying, this shouldn't hurt. Pride responds by saying, I should be over this by now. Pride responds by saying, I should get myself together. I shouldn't show this. And there's a balance, of course, because you do want to represent Jesus Christ and Messiah and not wear your feelings. But pride will respond and say, no one's going to hurt me. And whether the voice ever says, no one's going to hurt me, there's a mannerism and a pride that comes with believing no one's going to hurt me. And I think that, and this is just me trying to articulate my experiences and my understanding and, you know, put it out there for each of you to glean from, but I really think that somewhere along the lines a lot of us have said that or heard that in our hearts, that I'm not going to be hurt again. And maybe it goes all the way back to childhood. Maybe you don't even recall ever hearing that voice, but you felt the feeling. And what the feeling feels like is it's a wall. There's a wall, and it's numb, and nothing's coming in or out of it. And then on the exterior and the outward, you know, we grow, we go past it, time moves on, but we're reliving. We're reliving and reliving. And I'll pause right there, Mother Jennifer, just to hopefully bring you in to that point, that pride responding, saying, I shouldn't be hurt, nothing's going to hurt, and this shouldn't hurt me. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I have found over the years that pride is a defense mechanism that works with many other spirits. You know, whatever trauma, whatever you've dealt with, pride always likes to come in to make you believe that it will be your protector. Pride will say, I'm not going to allow anyone to hurt you. And so you start to trust pride over Yah. You know, you don't really truly have faith in Yah. You have faith in pride. And so it becomes this defense mechanism that just that you think you're surviving. You think you're allowing yourself to actually move on, but there's no healing in it. You're just covering up. So pride is actually going on, and you're showing, you're putting on this big facade. You know, you're hiding behind pride. So there's really no true healing. But when you come into a ministry like Straightway, when you come into Straightway and you start to experience true love, you know, like we were talking, like they were talking about on Lion's Den, Pastor Muir was talking about the gifts working through love. And this is why love is so important amongst the women. There were many letters that we've read, Sister Ashley, over the past 2 weeks where there's so much mistrust going on between women. And it can be a lot of pride just still working. It's a defense mechanism that is being allowed to work in the women even to today. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So pride, defense mechanisms, you're not going to hurt me. It functions in the feeling realm, whether it has a voice or not. And then it creates a barrier between you and the one who has hurt you, whether they legitimately said or did anything or whether it was just based on your perception and your feelings. And it creates a wall between you and the Creator, your Father. And the true brokenness that the Most High, if I can say, creates through molding you and shaping you, that true brokenness always leads you to Him. Being hurt or offended in the flesh leads you away. Both times you have to find your way to Him. And never allow voices like, that should not be hurting me still. I should not still be dealing with this. Here I am back at the same feeling. All those things that might communicate to you are Satan's tactic to keep you from continual repentance, true heartfelt lamenting and repentance, true change. Continue, please, to hold the Most High to His word. He said He will bind up the brokenhearted. He will. He said He will comfort those that mourn. He will. He said garment of praise for heaviness. He appointed unto them that mourn in Zion, and give them beauty for ashes and oil of joyful mourning. He said it. The Messiah said it. Set at liberty them that are bruised. If that's you, then that's you. You don't have to have anyone else say that you're bruised. You don't have to have anyone else to say that you're a captive. You know that. You know that you are not free. And you know His working currently in your life, the direction that He's given you, the voice that He's put in front of you, the man, the leader, the preaching, the word. You know, a sister said to me today, man, I know the Most High is dealing with me in this area because it came up in Lion's Den. It came up on the show last week. And then I read about it. You know, that pattern of the Holy Spirit, like staying right there on that molding, what do they call that, when the clay and the potter are working together, that wheel, right, that spinning wheel. They're staying right there getting that lump out. And y'all know we want to jump off of that. We want to jump off that spinning wheel. Like, surely this is enough. Right? But no, you can stay right there and let me recover sight to the blind. Let me set you at liberty. Let me preach deliverance to the captives. Let me do what I need to do until you get off, right, until you're ready to get off. But hold him to his word, hallelujah. And another, go ahead, Mother Jennifer. Did you have something to add, please?
We just have an email whenever you finish, Sister Ashley.
Oh, great. All right, let's go there. An email,
hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. It says, on Lion's Den last night, Pastor Daniel spoke about spirits that are consistently gone after, like when someone is in a deliverance chair. Is there an order of spirits or of principal demons that should be gone after? Just wondering. Bless you for allowing us to learn and glean from your wisdom every week. And thank you for posting all of the past Sister to Sisters. I have been diligently going through them since coming into the ministry, and they have been such a great source of coming out of her and acclimating to this Hebrew culture. So she's asking, is there an order of spirits or principal demons that should be gone after? Is there an order to it when you're seeking deliverance? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, absolutely. And no one's order is the same. Your order is exactly what is tormenting you. That's the order that you go in. You don't compare your order to anyone else. You don't ask or look at someone else and go, oh, wow, maybe I should be going that way. Maybe I should go after that. You know, no, between your husband, the pulpit, and the Ruach first, chiefly too, working with those men and within you, leading you, showing you where you are bound and the heart knows its own bitterness, that's your order right there. You're going to move from faith to faith. And He's going to keep you on track. You determine the pace, but He determines the victory. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. You know, and I think, too, as you are seeking, you know, the order that the Most High wants you to go, you always examine your heart if there's any unforgiveness that you're holding on to. You know, is there anything that's unconfessed that I need to deal with? Because you want to make sure that you're prepared to even actually sit in the chair. If you have not forgiven someone, even including yourself, you want to make sure that you have resolved that. So it just depends on your personal situation. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. If you still want to know what to go after, if you still want to know if you're ready, sit down and see. Sit down and see. You know, humble yourself to someone else's help and be ready for their guidance. We're hoping, all of us are hoping, that we have enough mature women in the rightful places within these communities that are there for each of you to come to and to direct you right. You know, woe unto us if we don't. I know there's a lot of lessons learned when we make mistakes with one another, but at the same time, hopefully never misguiding anyone. Never saying to someone you have the Holy Spirit when you don't. Never saying to someone, go study this spirit, and that's not the right one. You know, that damage control. If you're a helper to someone, don't misguide them. Take it very serious. Hallelujah. I had another thought with that, and it dropped me. But, oh, as far as being, like, what you should go after next, there are periods of time where you're not going to be obviously going after something or getting deliverance, but there's never a time out for repentance. There's never a halftime. There's never an intermission, a break. There's always something that you are thinking in your carnal mind that is in direct opposition to the Creator that can be repented for daily. From the things that you think, from the things that you want to do but you don't, from the things that you hear that you don't say or you do say. Every day there's something to repent for and to humble yourself for. Hallelujah. All right, Mojo, that's it. Got another email.
Yes, ma'am. Next email says, Shalom and many blessings to each of your master's households, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley, and Sister Chef. I wanted to ask a question pertaining to a spirit I would like to identify. I will give a brief background and then ask the question. Thank you all in advance. Since coming to the faith and straightway in 2020, I've had to forsake my natural children who I raised for 13, it's a girl, and 11, a boy, years, but now who live with their father. I have not seen them since March 2021. My master does allow communication between us. Since then, I've worked on and have had success in severing those soul ties I've had to my children. I use communication with them sparingly, but recently, after speaking to my daughter, who is now age 15, she told me that she would be going to prom with a girl whom she liked as a date. Spiritually, I was extremely grieved because I understand the path of destruction and the legal grounds that she is giving to the Hasatan. Fast forward to the basis of my email. Yesterday, I randomly had a thought about suicidal thoughts concerning my daughter. Not that I personally was having them, but the thought crossed that she was having them. Thought was, what if I don't see her and something happens to her, seeing that I have not physically seen them in years? I immediately cast down those thoughts, ask God to strengthen me, as I do on days that my flesh does not think on and miss them, and prayed and asked Yah to have mercy according to his will. My question is, what spirit is at work here? Should I revisit soul ties? Also, in regards to praying for my natural children, is there any advice? I don't want to make any petitions outside of Yah's will for them. Thank you for all that you do for the daughters of Zion. We are listening and taking heed and being restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
I do have some thoughts and maybe even some encouragement, Mother Jennifer, but I want to hear your maturity. So please answer first.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say that, you know, regarding soul ties between children, when it is concerning relationships between mothers and children, it is always good to lean on the wisdom from your husband. And it looks like he's given you a really good guide when it comes to communication between you and your children, and he will know when or if, you know, communication becomes too much, if you need to back off. I know that for women who have allowed their children to go with their father, natural fathers, sometimes guilt can set in. You know, you can potentially feel guilty because in the world, you raised them a certain way. You didn't raise them to know Yah. You didn't raise them to understand the fear of Yah. And you might feel guilty that you're in the faith and you have understanding of Yah and his holiness and his ways, and you've been given an opportunity and they don't have that. So you can carry around a lot of guilt unnecessarily. There can be preconceived fears of things that may happen. So sometimes you have to first and foremost make sure that you have forgiven yourself. You know, if you have any unforgiveness in your heart because you've allowed them to go with their father, you know, if that was the best thing for them. You can't carry that particular guilt around. You can't carry these preconceived fears around. They belong to the man. They belong to him. And so you have to really understand the perspective in it all, and you have to learn how to just truly move forward. And I'm sure some days might be tough, but, you know, like you do, you get a hold of your mind and you're able to actually move forward. But the first thing that really came to my mind was guilt and fear. You know, you have to just really move forward in your life. In Yah, you know, think about your life, the life that he has given you. When children, you know, they get a certain age and, you know, they understand the life that you live and they understand the ways that you follow, then they're free to ask questions. They're free to contact you. They're free to ask questions. If they don't, then you know that there's just not an interest there for holiness. Sister Ashley?
I support every word that you said. I wanted to support your words by also saying fears is really what came to my mind as well. Fears is an area that, of course, a lot of us are weak in, you know, quick to fear. So how about binding up that spirit of suicide that might be communicating to her? How about binding that up and taking authority in your prayer? Because you'll conquer more of your feelings when you respond in spiritual warfare than when you are feeling fear, having fear for her. So when you had that thought, bind it up. How much time in your mind do you want to give for the rest of your life to someone that Yah is not dealing with? That's how we have to look at these other nations and these other people. I don't speak without mercy. I want to say that I've never lived your circumstance, and I can't honestly imagine it. There are people who have lived it, who are living it, and who will live it. There are some that are past where you're at, meaning experienced it, grew out of it, matured out of it, now have even a more sound relationship with their children now that their children are grown and out of their seasons. You know, children out in the world change from one day to the next, you know, from what they want to be to what they think to what they do. And so I would suggest that you have a sound mind about yourself, that you don't waver to how they feel. At the same time, yes, soul ties can be reformed, but that would be reformed by your fears and your communication. So how much it should be regulated, how much control your children have over you should be regulated. It might be regulated by you, by your internal check from the Ruach inside of you that says that's enough. You're giving them too much control, giving them too much of yourself, or it might be regulated by your husband who says that's enough. But another thing that you said here, I don't want to make any petitions outside of Yah's will for them. That's a good statement. So I'm going to take it a step further and say, how about worshiping Yah and saying thank you that your will is being done? That somehow he found it in his infinite mercy to save my soul and not hers or his. And that sounds completely selfish, but it is. I'm very, very thankful to be a part of the land of living, and whoever he may have rejected to make that possible, I praise his holy name. And once again, you, as well as many others that are experiencing this, as we form this, this restoration, you're going to be able to help someone else. You know, so what you're going through, you're going to feel a lot, but you can't control her. Don't let her control you. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. We have a phone call, 219 area code.
All right, we're going to phone calls. Thank you for participation. Area code 219. And anyone who's calling in tonight, please step away from your speaker so we can hear you and hear what you have to say. Hallelujah. 219, you're live on Sister to Sister. Thank you for calling in. Who are we speaking to? 219, are you just listening? Going once, twice, and probably just listening. All right, we'll mute you. 219, if you really needed us, hang up, call back into the show, press 1 again, because you still show as being in my queue. I just muted you. Since you didn't speak the first round, I won't answer you again unless you please hang up and press 1 again. Listen through your phone. For anyone who calls in, listen through your phone and not through your computer speaker, because if there is a delay, then you'll hear me directly speak to you and introduce you to the show. Hallelujah. Back to the emails and the inbox. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. The next one says, Shalom and blessings, beloved Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. Once again, I praise Yah and thank you for another wonderful, edifying show of Sister to Sister. Would you please bring a good balance between being brokenhearted and having a contrite heart and broken heart on our knees before our Father? I am thinking of this word here. It's better to fall on a rock than a rock falling on you. Bless you well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to... I have a couple of things come to mind, and one, y'all know that I don't love this English language any more than probably any of you. I've always wanted to be able to speak a few of them and have an amazing accent. Wouldn't it be great if I could speak African or sound African? It's just one of my favorites. That would be great, right? Hallelujah. But with that said, brokenhearted and broken heart. Right? So I can see how, and she's coming from a different dialogue and a different language when she asks us, can you explain the difference between brokenhearted and having a contrite broken heart? All right. So if someone breaks my heart because of what they said, what they did that hurt me, we say in English or in America, you broke my heart, right? Which we shouldn't be speaking in the faith at all. But that is, comes from hurt and pain. Feelings according to the flesh. A broken and contrite heart or spirit, the Most High Yah will not despise, the word says. That comes from continual humility. Humbling myself continually to the afflictions, the trials, the wickedness, the ways that are within me that I want out of me. The continual repentance yields a broken and contrite heart that the Most High Yah will not despise. Once again, the other heart, when someone says, you broke my heart, that was because there was an injury or an offense or some form of rejection, something that made me feel hurt. Okay? So once again, you take that hurt to the Most High, you humble yourself, and you produce a broken and contrite heart. Is that all right, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, Sister Ashley, very well. And nothing I can add to it. You explained it very well. Thank you.
Hallelujah. What we got next? Anything else? Another email?
Yes, ma'am. Next, we have an email that says, Shalom and blessings. I watched Pastor Dial's Patreon video and to see and hear the heart of our shepherd as he is sharing with us how Yah is dealing with him and dealing with all of Israel is truly humbling and fearful. I need to repent to Yah, to my master, and to my daughter for falling short in who Yah called me to be, to repent for ever making it hard for my husband to be in his role, to repent for not loving my daughter the way Yah says to love her, to repent for not representing Yah as his daughter. As a community, we read Titus 2. We read Titus 2 this morning and discussed what a man and woman should be doing as a follower of Yah, and that we need to strive every day to be what Titus 2 says that we should be, to be set free of anything that can hinder that. I am thankful for Yah's mercy and his goodness that leads me to repentance. I am convicted even more so to pray for the men of Israel to be encouraged to be in their role. And the same for us women. May Yah continue to bless Pastor Dow as he continues to receive from Yah and lead the people. Praise Yah for healing and a renewed mind. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley.
2 Corinthians 7. Let's bring this to life. 2 Corinthians 7. this is definitely, I'm glad you said what you said and brought this up. This is most definitely not to you, but maybe you can receive it for you. So she watched a video, and it impacted her, right? And 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8 says, and it's Paul's words, though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Okay, in this case we could say, pastor would say, hey, I made you sorry with a video, but I don't repent. Verse 9 says, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. That my intentions, basically he's saying, was not to hurt you in any way, violate you, speak against you. It was all love, and I rejoice that you were made sorrow, or, you know, that you sorrowed to repentance. But here's the kick. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. All right? Godly sorrow works repentance to change, to transformation, to be different, to produce. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world works death. All right? So we hear a video. Any of us can hear a video. Any of us can hear a message. Week after week we hear messages. Maybe there's an impact for a moment. Maybe we feel sorrow. Right? But did it and does it have enough impact in my life to bring about godly sorrow, working to repentance, never to be repented of again? Because if it does, when I really test my heart and I'm not moved by my emotions, not just because I feel sorry for a moment, not because I feel sorry when I heard a video, not because I have a feeling, right, because we're led by them, do I have enough integrity? Do I have enough godly sorrow to go to my husband and repent? Never to repent again. Because if I don't, I'm moved by sorrow and a feeling according to the flesh. And just because I feel doesn't mean I need to speak. Ever. Ever. There'll be many times, perhaps, if you're a righteous woman, there'll be many times that perhaps you're led to repent to the man in front of you. But make sure, because your integrity and your reputation banks on it, make sure that you will produce the change, that your words are going to speak to him. Because if it does, then he loves you the more and trusts you the more. And knows that your heart is upright for him and that you're in his house for him. But if you know that you're weak and you might be subject to the devil, walk it out first. Walk out the change first. And then go to your husband and testify. Then tell him what happened. Tell him the video brought change. Tell him what you felt. Tell him you worked through that sorrow and you produced godly repentance. And that you tested your own self. And that you wanted to make sure that you walked it out. Walked out a great change for him and your daughter before you went to him. And testified the goodness of the Father. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. The greatest form of repentance is to be able to produce fruit. It's not the, you know, the I'm sorry. And you know, sometimes that is warranted. But the greatest level of repentance is just being able to produce the fruit and to show the fruit so that they can see that you've actually changed. So that's all I wanted to add. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. Praise Yah. Back to the inbox if we have anything, do we?
We have nothing. No, ma'am.
Nothing. All right. Let's take a music break. Let's take a music break. Y'all hear the pattern of the show tonight? We are pouring out our experiences and our help and our answers for you if we have it. So continue to send your emails. Continue to call if you need to call. 310-982-4226. You can check us out, hear us live, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're hearing this show for the first time and it's on repeat on YouTube, you can check us out live. Be with us in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com/Shirley Truth. All right, forward slash straightway. I apologize. blogtalkradio.com/straightway. All right, let's hear another beautiful song made by our family. Appreciate the few that have come through. I don't have, what's Pastor say, the preaching itch. That's what he calls his, because he's the preacher. We don't got the show itch. You know, we don't have to say anything else or add anything else. We are at your service, and we're dedicating our show and the weeks ahead, y'all willing, to answering your questions. So maybe even from now until next week, maybe something will come up in your spirit. Maybe you'll have a question that you need us to answer. Remember that the Most High Yah is your physician. He is your counselor. He's your husband. He's your judge. And he's your father. And depending on how you need him, that's how you address him. Hallelujah. Let's see. I got a text that says, Shalom and bless you well. I'm really enjoying this, sister, especially the last part about repentance and showing the first fruits. Thank you, Mother, for your wisdom and the time y'all take to share with us. And thank you for the tea party. Hallelujah. Yes. One sister says, very short, very impactful, and thank you for the show. Hallelujah. Short and impactful. I hope so. Let me share something, Mother Jennifer. I said I didn't have nothing. Look, I brought this with me. This is it's a picture. Obviously, you guys cannot see it, all right? And this is the end of the show. We're going to wrap it up. But this picture is, I'm going to try to say the picture because I'm going to read the words that came with the picture, right? This is online. And someone sent this to me. And I know you can't see it, so I'm going to speak it. There's a man on top of a mountain laying down flat with a huge boulder on top of him. He's reaching his arm down the mountain, and he's holding a woman who has, obviously, she's being held up by him. If he let her go, she's going to fall. And then on the side of the mountain, there's a snake, and the snake is biting her arm. All right? Once again, real short, man laying flat, top of the mountain with a big boulder on him. He can't move. He's holding the woman by the arm. If he lets go, she falls as a snake is biting her arm. The words on the picture say, the man doesn't know that there's a snake underneath the woman. The woman doesn't know there's a stone crushing the man. The woman thinks, I'm going to fall, and I can't climb because the snake is going to bite me. Why can't this man use a little more strength and pull me up? And the man thinks, I'm in so much pain. I'm pulling you as hard as much as I can. You need to try and climb a little harder. And the moral to the picture is you can't see the pressure that the other person is under. And the other person can't see the pain you're in. This is life. Whether it's work, family, any of your feelings or your friends, we should try to understand each other. Learn to think differently, perhaps more clearly, and even communicate better. A little thought and patience goes a long way. Hallelujah. Special thanks to Deacon Bell who sent this to me. Very beautiful depiction of life. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. Very beautiful lesson. Bless you, daughters of Zion. I pray that you stay encouraged, and I pray that we all just continue to search our hearts, and we will we'll talk to you all next week. Shalom.